The text for the sermon this morning comes from Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Yet, who knows, maybe it was for a time like this that you were made queen. It was a time like this that you were made queen. Long, long ago, in a country far away, there lived a beautiful young girl by the name of Esther. She was taken captive along with all her people, and she had to live in a foreign land with a foreign king. Sounds a bit like a fairy tale, but it was nothing like that, because this beautiful young girl was not a princess, but an orphan. And the only thing she really had was her beauty and the fact that she had a loving uncle who looked after her and kept an eye on her. But let me continue with the story. This foreign king loved hosting parties. And at one of these parties, where the wine has been flowing all day, he decided he wanted to brag and show off to all his guests and show them his beautiful wife. And even though this beautiful wife knew his temperament so well, she refused. She refused to go. And this angered the king so much, he immediately got rid of her. But as things go, and he sobered up, he got lonely after a while, and he decided he needs a new wife, and she must be beautiful. So he hosted a beauty contest to get a new wife. And guess who won this competition? Yes, the beautiful young orphan with the name of Esther. And this is how Esther became the queen. But in those days, and in that palace, it was no fairy tale to be a queen or a woman. Because like all the rest of the women in that kingdom, she had no rights at all. She could not even talk or speak to her husband freely. She could not go to him. She had to wait for him to summon her to go to him. And maybe because of this reason, there wasn't much talking going on between them. He did not know she was a Jew. And in the meantime, the king's prime minister started building up a grudge towards Esther's uncle, because this uncle kept an eye on her, and he was around the palace all the time. And he irritated this prime minister, because he refused to bow down when the prime minister approached, because her uncle was a devoted Jew who would not bow before anything except God. He would not bow down out of respect for God. That was the only exception. And it irritated this prime minister. So it bothered him so much, he decided, I must get rid of this man. And while I'm getting rid of this man, I will also get rid of all the Jews in this kingdom. And because the king was much more interested in his drinking parties and not running his kingdom fairly, he didn't even think twice when the prime minister asked him to sign a decree that on a certain date, all the Jews would be massacred. The prime minister was so pleased that he got his way that he started to build a gallows outside the palace to hang this irritating man. But in the meantime, the word got out. All the Jews in the kingdom knew D-Day was approaching. And Esther found out from her uncle about this massacre. And like all the other Jews, she was upset and devastated. But even more so, when her uncle told her that she was the only person who could do something about it. And although she had no power at all, no influence in the palace. She knew he was right. She was the only person who could do something. And she had to do something. And according to the law, anybody who went to the king without being summoned, even his wife, would be executed immediately, except if the king was pleased to see them. And since the king has not summoned Esther for longer than a month, she could only assume he had a different woman to occupy his attention. But she got all her courage together. She dressed herself nicely and she went to the king. She knew she was anyway going to die because she's a Jew, so she can just give it her best shot. And much to her surprise, the minute the king laid his eyes on this beautiful young woman, he immediately fell in love again. And before even she opened her mouth, he promised her to give her whatever she wanted, even if it was half of his kingdom. But she knew him well. She knew his moods could change. So she decided not to be hasty, and she invited him and the prime minister to dinner the next evening. But that night, the king could not sleep. Guilty conscience, maybe. So he asked one of his servants to read him a bedtime story. And the servant chose to read from a book retelling the recent history of his kingdom. And so the king heard for the first time about the uncle of Esther who saved his life. He heard for the first time that there were two officials who tried to assassinate him, but this uncle saved his life. He even realized that this uncle has never been rewarded. So, the first person the king saw the next morning was his prime minister. He asked him how somebody very brave and special could be rewarded. And of course, the prime minister thought, it's he that the king is talking of. So he suggested, take him on a parade through the city. Let all the people in the city know how important is this man. And then the king said to him, I'm talking about Mordechai, the uncle of Esther. He couldn't believe his ears. What a humiliation. The man he hated most, he got all the honors. But he had the dinner to look forward to. But the dinner did not work out like he thought it would. Because after a lovely meal and many glasses of wine, Esther told the king about the implications of the prime minister's plan. Yes, that the prime minister wanted to wipe out all the Jews, her people, including her. The king was furious. He immediately ordered that the prime minister must be hanged on the gallows outside the palace. But, of course, no decree could be made invalid. But the king said, I'll sign another decree where I give the Jews permission. On that day, they can defend themselves. And the end of the story has a happy ending, because the Jews had a very big victory. On the day that they were supposed to be wiped out on the earth, they were saved. Interesting story. Almost like a fairy tale, except it really happened. And it was such an important part of the people of God's history that they devoted a whole chapter in the Bible, a whole book, to this story. It was so important that even till today, the Jews celebrate this victory. But did you know, not once in this book is the name of God mentioned. So, why is it in our Bibles then? And another interesting fact is Everything in this book seems to happen by chance. Was it coincidence that when the king was looking for a new wife, a Jew was the most beautiful girl in the kingdom? Was it coincidence that Esther's uncle heard about the plot to kill the king? Was it coincidence that he was not rewarded for what he did? Was it coincidence that the king was in a good mood when Esther approached him without being summoned? Was it coincidence that the king could not sleep the night before Esther's dinner party? Was it coincidence that the prime minister was the very first person the king saw that morning and then ordered him to honor the person he hated the most? And I can go on forever and ever. The question is, do we as Christians, as faithful followers of Jesus Christ, believe that things happen by chance? Although God's name is not mentioned once in the story, it is as clear as daylight that the whole time there's someone behind the scenes steering the things and all the events in the right direction. It's almost like a big puppeteer behind the curtains, making sure his will is done. And he did not do this by means of earth-shattering miracles, but plainly by using ordinary people. And the same happens to us every day. We also find ourselves daily in situations where we struggle to see God in our lives. We often find ourselves where we wonder, is God really still in power? Yes, we often doubt that God is listening to us. But I think, just like Esther, we must know God exists. He is by our sides each and every moment of every day. The fact that we experience God so far is maybe because we focus so much on our lives, the things that bother us, that we do not bother to see farther and further from the troubles we experience. Yes, sometimes we lose focus on who's really in charge of our lives. And sometimes we say, just like our world, it's by chance. God is always there, sometimes on the forefront, sometimes in the background, but he never leaves his children alone. If we struggle to understand why things is happening to us, maybe we must close our eyes and wait for God. Wait for God to speak to us. Wait for God while he's using other people to reach out to us. Maybe it's time that you and I tell our stories of faith so that other people can realize God is still working through the ordinary things of life. God can use us. He might decide not to use us, but it's his will, and we must abide by his will. Nothing ever happens by chance. There's a reason for everything that happens to us, even though we do not understand it. He made you and me with a purpose on this earth. In the time of crisis, Esther's uncle said to her, Who knows? Maybe it was for a time like this that you were made queen. And today, I want to say to you, who knows? Maybe it is for a time like this that you are in your situation at this moment. Maybe it is a time like this that you are a BB officer or members of the Boys Brigade. Maybe it was for a time like this that you set your foot in this church this morning. Remember, nothing ever happens by chance, but from God's sustaining fatherly hand. Amen.